This is the NoVam Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for deciding to hang out with us a little bit tonight. This is our last night until Friday. Johnny Wendell of AM 1150 KTLK in Los Angeles will sit in for me tomorrow night. And then on Thanksgiving night, there'll be an encore Malloy show. That'll make your turkey settle down. We'll have to tune in and listen to that, Kathy. I'm not sure what the Bush on the Couch interview? Oh, well, that'll be fun. All right, that's Thanksgiving night. As you're burping up pecan pie, switch over to the Malloy Show and hear this repeat of that program.
Not my pecan pie.
No, not your pecan pie. Tomorrow night, Johnny Wendell from KTLK in L.A. will sit in for us. You all are aware of the breaking story a couple hours ago. Aren't we all shocked that Bush is involved in subornation and perjury, cover-up, lying? Oh, Jesus, you know. We'll get to that in a little while. I wonder if that gives Nancy Pelosi enough room now to allow the House Judiciary Committee to begin impeachment hearings. Oh, my God. Maybe McClellan, maybe all those times, Kathy, we made fun of simple Scotty. Maybe he was just as frustrated as we were, being told to go out and lie repeatedly when he knew the truth.
Karl Rove is a good man. I spoke to Karl personally.
I know he said that. A couple of things here that are absolutely shocking regarding the U.S. military. First, as reported by KDKA.com in Pittsburgh, U.S. military is demanding that thousands of wounded soldiers give back their signing bonuses because they are unable to serve out their commitments. Oh my God! It's astonishing. I mean, this makes the novel Catch-22, look like, I don't know, a nursery rhyme. Signing bonuses up to $30,000 in some cases. The soldier does it. He or she goes to a combat zone, gets a leg blown off, comes home. The military says, give us back the money because you can't complete your contract. But I can't complete my contract because my leg was blown off in a combat. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, soldier. We don't give a damn about you. Are you serious? You're not buying into that nonsense about the United States cares about its warriors, the Defense Department cares about the military, that Bush and Cheney respect you people. Oh, God, don't buy that story. Give us back our money. Soldiers and Marines who have lost arms, legs, eyesight, hearing, half of their skulls could no longer serve are being ordered to pay the money back. Now, I've got to be careful here because this story just might flip my trigger to the point where Nova M gets heavily fined and I get fired. So I'm going to try to calm down and go through this. One of the soldiers involved is a young man named Jordan Fox, who is from the Pittsburgh viewing area, apparently, the KDKA viewing area. He said, what he does now, he loads boxes onto a truck And he finds solace in the hundreds of boxes he loads onto a truck. And each box is a care package that will be sent to a man or a woman serving in Iraq. He started this, Operation Pittsburgh Pride, it was called. Now, here's what happened. He was seriously injured when a roadside bomb blew up his vehicle. He was knocked unconscious, his back was injured, and he lost all vision in his right eye. A few months later, Fox was sent home. His injuries prohibited him from fulfilling 3 months of his commitment. 3 months. So a few days ago, he got a letter from the military demanding nearly $3,000 of his signing bonus back. Mr. Fox said, I tried to do my best and serve my country. I was unfortunately hurt in the process. Now they're telling me they want their money back. Now, the irony here is that Fox's mother, Susan Wartusak, met with Bush in Pittsburgh last May. Bush thanked Mom for helping to start Operation Pittsburgh Pride, which has sent approximately 4,000 care packages to other soldiers serving in Bush's murderous little adventure. Then Bush sent a letter to Mom expressing his concern over her son's injuries. So Mom is having a hard time understanding the government's apparent, the Bush crime family's apparent lack of concern over injuries to countless U.S. soldiers with their demands that they return their bonuses, including her son. Now, right now, if you're a red-blooded America, man or woman, Jew or Gentile, gay or straight, black or white, Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, don't you want to grab somebody from the whoever came up with this idea and take a club and just smash them into the ground? Can you believe this? Mr. Fox, Jordan Fox, says that while he's unsure of his future, he's unwavering in his commitment to his country. This is what they did to this man's mind. I wish there was some way to explain to Jordan Fox that his injuries, and now the fact that the Bush crime family is spitting on him, has nothing whatsoever to do with a commitment to this country. Nothing. Jordan, for Christ's sake, don't you understand why you're so grievously wounded? But Jordan Fox said, quote, I'd do it all over again because I'm proud of the discipline that I learned. I'm proud to have done something for my country, end quote. Jordan, what did you do for your country? It's what your country has done to you. Lied your innocence into a combat zone. Took part of your physical being. Corrupted your mind to the point where you say you would do it again, even knowing that these son of a bitches, when you came home, are now trying to get their money back. But Jordan Fox feels like he's given plenty at this point. He'll never be able to pursue his dream of being a police officer because of his wounds. And he can't believe he's being asked to return part of his signing bonus. The part that he couldn't fulfill because he was so grievously wounded. Oh my God. And yet Jordan Fox says he appreciates the discipline he learned. I don't know on what level to feel great. I want to say pity, and I don't mean it in a condescending way, but pity for this young man. First of all, for his wounds. Secondly, for what he must be feeling as his country very, very deliberately and unsubtly sticks another wound into his body. And third, I feel pity for him that he can't understand what was done to him and why.
Guys that would never lose. 'Cause I don't see no ticker tape or 5 mile parade saying, thank you, son. Just folks that sit in judgment who ain't seen what I've seen or did what I've done. Didn't I burn? Didn't I bleed enough for you?
It's a fine-looking bird, isn't it?
After the break at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into the Scott McClellan revelation. And for a lot of us, of course, it is not, it's not new. It's not news. But to hear it come from the person hired and paid to lie for the Bush crime family is pretty astonishing. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. Someone blogging under the name Hugo Chavez, it's not the leader of Venezuela, but he blogs under that name, has an interesting blog here about observing the anniversary of the Nuremberg trials. I want to share it with you. He says it's exactly 62 years to the day. Today is. Since the remaining leaders of the Nazi forces stood in a specially built dock in the city of Nuremberg for the beginning of the now famous war trials, the judge who oversaw the proceedings, Judge Jackson, was in no doubt as to the importance of the task that lay ahead. Jackson told the court at the outset of the hearings, quote, "We must never forget that the record on which we judge these defendants is the record on which history will judge us tomorrow. To pass these defendants a poisoned chalice is to put it to our own lips as well," end quote. So it was understood that Nuremberg was to be an example of how war criminals were to be tried, and that it would set in stone the rules for international law, which we ourselves must abide by. Keep this in mind. Not a single Nazi was handed down a death sentence from Judge Jackson for the killing of Jews. No one received a hangman's rope for indulging in genocide, or rape, or pillage, or the plundering of Europe. Jackson decided that if the trials were to be of any value, then these supreme criminals would stand accused of, quote, the supreme international crime, end quote. That supreme crime was, quote, aggression, end quote, which, according to Jackson, quote, encompasses all of the evil that follows. Genocide, rape, pillage, plundering. This perhaps was the reason why Jackson gave us all a warning concerning the so-called poison chalice that we ourselves may have to drink from by applying the Nuremberg standards to our own actions if the proceedings were not to be heralded as an utter farce. So here we are, 62 years later, in the light of the Downing Street memo, which told us all how the government of Tony Blair wanted to sex up the case for war with Iraq, in light of George Tenet's admittance that false information was allowed to be presented to the U.S. Congress in the push for war, the publication of telephone conversations between Spain's Prime Minister Jose Maria Aznar and George Bush, who assured him, Bush assured Aznar, that there was going to be a war whether or not there were weapons of mass destruction. And on, one is left asking a few simple questions. First, if the war in Iraq was not an act of aggression, then what was it? Secondly, Why are those who acted aggressively against the nation of Iraq not standing in the dock in Nuremberg to sip from the so-called poisoned chalice? And third, how many more lives will be needlessly lost before we have the courage to put them inside that dock? It's astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. An organization representing veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan launched a new blog today, which will feature posts from some of the top presidential candidates. Only one Republican contender, Ron Paul, who is really a libertarian. Ron Paul responded to VoteVets.org's invitation to blog. Five Democratic candidates answered the organization's call. No Republicans. I refuse to consider Ron Paul a Republican. He's not. He's got elected as a Republican member of Congress from Texas, and he's running as a Republican, but he's not. So, not one single Republican has agreed to sign on to VoteVets.org's blog site. In today's first candidate post, John Edwards outlined his plans to bring home tens of thousands of troops in Iraq and further to provide comprehensive health care to veterans. Brandon Friedman, an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran and vice chairman of VoteVets.org, said in a news release, quote, "It's heartening to know that the candidates who are posting think military and veterans issues are important enough to warrant a post on this new blog." He goes on to say, VetVoice.com can only hope, we hope, will become the hub on the web for those concerned about military and veterans issues. No Republicans, not one.
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, but wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
It's about 25 before the hour. I'm sure most of you already know that former White House press geek Scott McClellan names names in a forthcoming memoir, a caustic passage from which has been released by the publisher a couple hours ago, four or five hours ago. It accuses Bush, Rove, Cheney, all of them, being involved in giving the American public false information about the CIA leak case. This is a cover-up. This is suborning perjury. This is astonishing. This makes Nixon's crimes look like chump change. The name of the book is What Happened Inside the Bush White House and What's Wrong with Washington. The Scott McClellan lists five top officials as having allowed him to mislead the public. McClellan writes, quote, "I stood at the White House briefing room podium in front of the glare of the Klieg lights for the better part of 2 weeks and publicly exonerated two of the senior most aides in the White House, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby. There was one problem. It was not true. I had unknowingly passed along false information. And five of the highest-ranking officials in the administration were involved in my doing so. Rove, Libby, the vice president, the president's chief of staff, and the president himself." End quote. McClellan says he was in that position because he trusted the president. He writes, quote, "The most powerful leader in the world had called upon me to speak on his behalf and help restore credibility he lost amid the failure to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq," end quote. No, I don't know what that sentence means either. He didn't call on you, Scott, to restore credibility. He called on you to perpetrate an absolute lie and a cover-up of something that I think is a federal crime. McClellan, who's still writing the book, according to the Associated Press, refuses to comment any further. White House sources have long said, this is what it says, have long said that Rove and Libby, the vice president chief of staff, allowed McClellan to suggest day after day that they had no involvement in the publication of Valerie Plame's name. Later testimony, of course, showed that they did. A federal jury found Libby guilty of perjury and obstruction, and Bush, of course, commuted his sentence. In an appearance on CNN's Larry King Live back in March, the day Libby was found guilty, Scott McClellan said Bush did not originally know about the involvement by his aides. Another lie. McClellan told King, quote, "I spoke with those individuals, and those individuals assured me that they were not involved in this. They said what I believed to be true at the time. It was also what the president believed to be true at the time, based on assurances that we both given. Knowing what I know today, I would never have said that back then," end quote. Friends say McClellan was bitter and hurt and all of that stuff. All right, we want to play something for you. Kathy, you got that queued up? Okay, who are you doing first? Bush? George W. Bush, the president.
I'd like to know who leaked, and if anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker.
If there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is. If there's a violated law, the person will be taken care of. I don't know of anybody in my administration who leaked classified information. If somebody did leak classified information, I'd like to know it, and we'll take the appropriate action.
Given recent developments in the CIA leak case, do you stand by your pledge to fire anyone found to have done so?
Yes, and that's up to the U.S. attorney to find the facts.
I want to know all the facts.
If someone committed a crime, they will no longer work in my administration.
Is that grounds for impeachment, Nancy? So, you know, the only thing you can summarize is this. In early fall 2003, George Bush joined in what appears to have been a criminal cover-up to conceal the role of several members of the upper reaches of the White House in exposing the identity, the classified identity, of a CIA officer. As Robert Perry says today, writing at consortiumnews.com, though the press release didn't add more details about Bush's role, McClellan's press release today, earlier evidence already had implicated Bush in the outing of Plame after her husband, Joe Wilson, had gone public in July 2003, disclosing that Bush had used false information to frighten the American people about Iraq's alleged nuclear program. So, the lies upon lies here. The lies upon lies lied us into a war, lied to destroy the a reputation of a former ambassador, Joe Wilson, by outing his wife, violating the law, and then lying about that. Son of a bitch, what does it take to get these people removed from office? What has to happen? Seriously, what has to happen? Perry goes on, Bush personally announced his determination to get to the bottom of the matter. You just heard him say, if it's leaking out of my administration, I don't know who it is. Yet even as Bush was professing his curiosity and calling for anyone with information to step forward, he was withholding the fact that he had authorized the declassification of the secrets about the Niger uranium issue, and he had ordered Cheney to arrange for those secrets to be given to reporters. In other words, though Bush knew how the anti-Wilson scheme got started, since he was involved in starting it, he spoke misleading public statements to conceal his own role. Also, Since the various conspirators knew that Bush already was in the know, they would have read his comments as a signal to lie. That is suborning perjury, for Christ's sake, everybody! Which is what they did. Early October, Press Secretary McClellan said he could report that political advisor Karl Rove and National Security Council aide Elliot Abrams were not involved in the plane leak. That comment riled Scooter, who feared that he was being hung out to dry. Libby went to his boss, Dick Cheney, and complained that, quote, they're trying to set me up. They want me to be the sacrificial lamb, end quote. That's according to Libby's lawyer. Cheney scribbled down his feelings in a note to Press Secretary McClellan. It said, quote, not going to protect one staffer and sacrifice the guy, the prez, that was asked to stick his head in the meat grinder because of incompetence of others, end quote. In the note, Cheney initially was ascribing Libby's sacrifice to Bush, but apparently thought better of it, crossing out the prez and putting the clause in the passive tense. Not going to protect one staffer and sacrifice the guy that was asked to stick his head in the meat grinder. McClellan has now become the first White House insider to acknowledge the original lies that senior administration officials told about the Plamegate affair and to put George W. Bush in the middle of the cover-up. Now, if Nancy Pelosi and the House Judiciary Committee don't move now to remove this rotten, rancid son of a bitch and his vice president from office, then pack it in. Now, let's hear Scott McClellan.
There was no information that's come to our attention to suggest any White House involvement. There has not been any information beyond what we've seen in just anonymous media reporting to suggest that there was White House involvement. The president expects people to adhere to the highest standards of conduct and the highest ethics. It simply is not true, and I'm speaking on behalf of the White House when I say that.
Did Karl Rove or others have conversations with reporters about Mrs. Wilson and her CIA?
I mean, there's an investigation going on. There's been no information brought to our attention to suggest that anyone leaked classified information. I've made it very clear from the beginning that it is totally ridiculous. I've known Karl for a long time, and I didn't even need to go ask Karl because I know the kind of person that he is. And he is someone that is committed to the highest standards of conduct.
You personally went to Scooter Libby, Karl Rove, and Elliot Abrams to ask them if they were the leakers. Is that what happened?
They're important members of our White House team. They were not involved. I had no doubt of that in the beginning, but I like to check my information to make sure it's accurate before I report back to you, and that's exactly what I did.
Oh, my God. Do you get the full impact of this, Truth Seekers? When I heard this late this afternoon, I thought, oh, son of a bitch. It just goes to prove what we all have been talking about for 3 years regarding the Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson affair. But then it started to sink in. You know, after you have a moment to get over the flash and the breaking news, you know, the CNN, MSNBC mouth reading stuff. When you get past that and you think, you all of a sudden you start to think about what the implications are here. These are more. What is the list of impeachable offenses now? What is this up to? 7, 8, 9 articles of impeachment could be drawn against this filthy, corrupt administration. And is anything going to happen? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Weapon of mass destruction can be loud. Halliburton surgeon bears oil in the mouth. On your TV, the cable TV, the liar speaks tonight.
10 before the hour. I know we need to talk about that, and I want to get the conversation going. And I guess the best way to do that is to wait till we come back after the break here at the top of the hour. Just a couple more items that do not directly pertain to this filthy administration. Well, the first one does. Mayflower Mike. Over in Arkansas. Hey, Mike, the revelation in the new book, What Happened, by Scott McClellan, just points out what we already knew. Bush, Cheney, Rove, and Libby are guilty of treason in the outing of an undercover CIA agent. Perhaps Scott McClellan is the spark, and the Congress needs to start impeachment hearings. The very least the Congress could do is call McClellan before the House to answer some questions about Bush and Cheney. Is it possible that Scott McClellan is the John Dean of our time? If the Democrats fail to act after this information is made public, then all is lost, and we're in a hell of a mess, and we need some new people in the Congress and new leadership in the Democratic Party. What a mess. We might be the tin foil hat crowd, but does anyone seriously believe there will be an election in 2008? Impeach Bush now. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. If this man is capable, if Bush is the sociopath that he so obviously is and is capable of making all of those statements, if there's a leak, we don't know who it is. We have a Justice Department. Well, of course we're going to do this. We don't want him in our administration. And he was part of it. If he has that ability, and if he also has the ability to lie a country into a war, and he has the ability to ignore clear-cut warnings that an attack in this country is imminent, if he is capable of all of that, then he is fully capable of declaring no elections next November 8th. I mean, that's not rocket science. He has to be removed from office, legally and peacefully. He has to be. And I wonder now what Pelosi... I guess the story is so new that Pelosi has not had a chance to be questioned by the press or to issue a statement on this. But son of a bitch! I mean, is this hitting you the way it's hitting me? It's one thing to make up stories about weapons of mass destruction. That's criminal and evil because it sends God knows how many people to their deaths. But it is something else again to consistently, categorically lie face up to the American public and get away with it.
You got to help me out here a second. I mean, first off, I fear all of a sudden for Scott McClellan's life. It's ironic. But also, didn't it come out about a year or two ago that Bush, it was someone in the White House's office that leaked the information, and he had declassified her CIA status, and so it made it legal to do it? I mean,
There was talk of that. And now it becomes absolutely clear why that attempt was made. Because this filthy pig who sits as President of the United States knew that he had committed treason, suborned perjury, notified all these grinning monsters in his inner circle, including that mass-killing bastard Elliot Abrams, that it was okay to lie because he, Bush, was going to lie? I don't know. I've yet to get my mind around this. I'm glad we're off tomorrow and Thursday. You know, a couple of days to think this through.
Let the smart people figure it out
for us. Let the smart people figure it out so that when we come back on the air on Friday, we'll have all the answers in front of us and we won't have to work hard.
I'm going to call Tom Hartman.
Well, I was thinking about calling Wolf Blitzer. You know, I still have his phone number. Or better than that, Christiane, she's foreign. Who else do we still know at CNN?
A couple of janitors.
No, supervising producers.
But seriously, I mean, this is the part that I don't understand. What isn't this a little bit of old news? Is it just that the media didn't pick up on it a year ago? Because I remember a big scandal
that we talked about a lot.
This
is one of those situations where unless you connect the dots, you see, it doesn't mean anything. A story that came out a couple of years ago or a year ago, whenever it was, and I remember it, that...
It was right after Ari Fleischer resigned.
Was that how long ago it was?
And Simple Scotty came in.
Okay. The story that, Bush retroactively had declassified, which he's allowed to do, Valerie Plame, which of course caused God knows how many people to die. So he's guilty of a conspiracy to murder folks there, if you want to take it to that extreme. But the reason the story was just like, oh, he did that, besides lying us into a war, he's done that to what? Cover somebody's ass. Now that McClellan comes out and says the president, the vice president's chief advisor, Karl Rove, Louis Libby, Elliot Abrams, all of these evil, corpse-eating sons of bitches were in on it. Now, not only does that declassifying Valerie Plame's status become pertinent, but the fact that Bush repeatedly, deliberately, consciously stood in front of the American public and lied his ass off and suggested, obliquely or not, is beside the point, suggested or demonstrated since he was lying, it was okay for everyone else. If that's not suborning perjury, what is? Christ, will somebody tell me what is? We'll be back after the break and take your phone calls. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
You hear all kinds of rumors, like to know who leaked. If anybody's got any information, you ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker. And this is a serious charge, by the way. We're talking about a criminal action. Moving forward with the investigation is a criminal investigation. We will cooperate fully with the Justice Department. Cooperate fully with the investigators. Full disclosure. I want there to be full participation with the Justice Department. I've told my staff I want full cooperation with the Justice Department. A good thorough investigation.
Get this investigation done in a thorough way.
I'd like to know somebody in my White House did leak sensitive information.
If somebody...
Welcome back. It's about 6:30 past the hour. This revelation in Scott McClellan's book, which, by the way, is not due for publication until April. I have a feeling that maybe word got out as to what direction McClellan was going to go with this book, and word got to him either from Negroponte or Abrams, who were two of the slaughter boys where it concerned Central America back in the Reagan years. Word probably came to McClellan, look, these sons of bitches are going to kill you. They are going to open up all the veins in your neck and let you bleed to death. Do something to protect yourself. We'll put you in a witness protection program. And, of course, McClellan, not being as a dumb turkey as we used to assume that he was, said, no, witness protection, are you out of your freaking mind? That's run by what, the FBI, which is under control of the Justice Department, which is run by a guy, Mukasey, now, who says waterboarding is not torture. No, I don't think so, folks. So what's the best way? The book's not even finished. And he releases this bit. Makes you wonder, right? Doesn't make me, well, it makes me wonder for about 30 seconds. And then all of a sudden, the answer becomes crystal clear. McClellan would like to see next Thanksgiving. So he releases... What I understand is, we don't know how far he's going to go in explaining about this conspiracy at the highest levels of this corrupt, illegal government. We don't know how far he's going to go. But he releases the pertinent facts. The top five people in the United States government, two of whom were elected, suborned perjury and covered up a violation of the law so grievous that it resulted in people dying, and nobody knows how many. And then lying about it, and continuing to lie. So McClellan, in my opinion, this is just, you know, somebody said tonight, put your tinfoil hat on, it's on. It's on. So McClellan, word gets out what he's writing about. And word also possibly gets to him, you are dead meat, chunky boy, unless you stop what you're doing. So what's he going to do? Well, got a plan for the retirement, right? In more ways than one. The book obviously will be a bestseller, make a lot of money for Scott, but if he's not alive to spend the money, what good is it? So he releases several sentences. I don't even know if it constitutes a paragraph or two. That implicates the president, the vice president, the top advisors to both of them, and other, I don't know if Abrams is a constitutional, no, he's not a constitutional officer. The only two constitutional officers involved here are Bush and Cheney. The rest of them are advisors, killers, thugs, drug runners, people who like to see other people squirm and scream and in agony from torture. That's the type of people that now run this government. So he releases that little bit in order to what? Tease the audience about a book that's going to come out 7 months from now? I'm sorry, 6 months from now? I don't think so. The attention span of most of us is what? 27 minutes? No. Release these pertinent, incredible charges / facts, and you've just bought yourself a life insurance policy. Right, Scott? Right. William in Hollywood writes, Mike, I have to wonder why Scotty has come out with this book now. Well, I think I just answered for you, William, not the book. And how he intends to protect himself from being jailed or disappeared. I can't imagine he had a gun to his head while lying. Makes you wonder what lies Snow and now Perino have tossed out there that we don't know about. Well, I hope I've answered it for you, William, that, you know, he's... This is the oldest trick in the book. In order to make sure you don't get murdered, you lay out information immediately that would implicate key people in your assassination or in your murder, which immediately anesthetizes you. It protects you from being killed. McClellan knows this. He's seen these sons of bitches work. He knows how it works. He knows what Abrams is involved in. He knows what Negroponte's involved in. He knows what all of these people are involved in. Cheney, Bush, who's the guy, Kathy, whose name I can never remember, the one who did the Armitage, Richard Armitage? McClellan understands. He knows that if they decide to kill him, they will do it. They'll have somebody do it, and it will look like what? A car wreck, a robbery, a mugging. An accident. Oh, poor bastard. He fell out a window. 19 stories up. Can you believe that? Yeah, terrible. Ah, poor bastard. His plane crashed. Really? Jesus, how unlucky. Yeah, I know. Poor bastard. Oh, what happened? Which poor bastard? Scott McClellan. What happened? Ate some poisoned food. No! Yeah, died. Jesus, you're kidding. And he was writing that book. Yeah. Tough break, huh? Let's do some phone calls here. Tom is calling from Pinehurst, North Carolina, listening on the internet. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Hey, man. I've been a big fan for a long time. I haven't called up for a long time, but you're right on. If you can give me a minute or two.
Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Biggest thing, I mean, about the Scott McClellan thing is that when Nancy Pelosi got elected, the first thing she says is, impeachment is off the table. Well, I hope she can maybe change her mind about that, because if there's not any more incriminating circumstances about impeachable offenses involving more than one person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton got impeached for doing an indiscretion which involved one person and another. This involves, you know, Dick Cheney, Scott McClellan. Unfortunately, he was probably their mouthpiece, but you know, Wolfowitz, Cheney, everyone. And
yeah, Abrams, Armitage, Negroponte, just go down the list. Everyone who is involved in that inner circle of George W. Bush was complicit in this, was involved in this, is a co-conspirator in this. It's, you don't have to be
able... Isn't that the definition of a crime?
Yeah, yeah!
My God, yes!
And we don't have to be lawyers, you and I, to see what this is. And I don't know why the Democratic Party leadership, now, you know, it's unfair to start demanding that they do something because the story just came out about 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah,
so,
but Nancy Pelosi saying, impeachment's off the table, that was a big mistake by her because she should have known better. She should have known how evil these people were, and she should have known that they should, and maybe if they can't be impeached, the record will show throughout history that they were some of the worst Americans ever.
Well, I agree with you, and I think, Tom, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. I hope to hear from you again. That's what has to be done. Impeachment, remember, impeachment is presenting to the Congress or to the American public through the Congress, I'm sorry, through the House of Representatives, and before that, through the House Judiciary Committee, presenting the list of charges, and testimony is taken, and witnesses are called. It's like a grand jury hearing, only people can speak in defense of the president. In a grand jury, there is no defense allowed. It is all the prosecutor's dance. The prosecutor's dance. In an impeachment hearing, to find out if there is grounds for articles of impeachment to pass from the Judiciary Committee into the House, there all sorts of testimony is allowed, is sought, it's all taken under oath. And because of that, a lot of people are reluctant to lie the way they normally, witnesses for George W. Bush or the tobacco industry or the energy industries, are inclined to lie, or the Justice Department, because they know there is no penalty! None! But maybe this would be different, you see. So an impeachment proceeding, the initial stages, is simply to present the evidence. It doesn't mean anyone's going to be removed from office. To the contrary. It takes, what, two-thirds of the Senate? Is it two-thirds? Or is it 60? I'm not sure. To remove these sons of bitches. And we all know that Republicans in the Senate are corrupt and filthy and degenerate. So we're not looking, removal from office is probably an impossibility. But getting it out there as a matter of record to let the American public see just how corrupt this administration is absolutely necessary. Nancy?
I'd like to know who leaked. If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker.
Isn't that astonishing? That a person, any person, but in this case the President of the United States, can stand there and make that statement as clearly and as offhandedly as he made it, knowing full well that he is involved. Oh, my God. A couple emails and back to your calls. This is from Jack. Good evening, Mike. This book, which former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan is writing, is it about an organized crime syndicate or is it about the U.S. government? Astounding, isn't it, Mike? Just astounding. This is from Jesse. In Boynton Beach, Mike, Pelosi has got to be shaking in her high heels about Scotty's revelation. Now she has no excuse but to start impeachment proceedings. I also have to wonder about the next round of Democrat and Republican debates. Will even one question be asked about this? It's going to be interesting how this will be spun in the media, or if Scotty will all of a sudden apologize like the guy Cheney shot in the face. I'm really going to enjoy the next few days. It's going to be curious, isn't it? Mike writes, "Hey, Mike, one of the books that should have given everyone a clue about Bush was John Dean's Worse Than Watergate. He almost just comes right out and says that Bush and Cheney both are insane, that Cheney's hatred of the press and open government cost his career a huge setback with the impeachment of Richard Nixon. When you connect the dots, the Bush crime family, Cheney and Nixon, you know in your heart they all crawled out from under the same rock. If the Congress will just open hearings, the whole Bush, House of Bush, will collapse in a heartbeat. And even better, it will take the Giuliani campaign with it, another criminal of the highest order. Remember, John Dean is a Republican at heart, and even he is sickened by this bunch of thugs. Congress must act right now, today, to impeach this sorry son of a bitch before it's too late. If Congress fails to act, then they too are guilty of the same crimes as the Bush crime family. And we are in real trouble." This is from SHP, the CIA, regarding McClellan's exit. "The CIA has ways of killing people to make it appear like they have had a brain aneurysm or a heart attack. Forget about cutting the brake lines." Yeah, that's true. And from Ron, who's still lost in PA, "Mike, the Bush leak montage that you just played for this break made clear to me what the petulant, felonious junior president was saying to the media. What he was saying was, leave me alone, I don't care, go to hell, you peasants, I don't owe you an explanation for anything. To say I hate these people is easy. As an American, I'm offended by them. I am morally indignant, and I can't believe my fellow countrymen and countrywomen aren't headed to D.C. with pitchforks and burning torches ready to tar and feather these cretins." Back to your phone calls. Will is calling from Michigan. Hey, Will, hey, welcome to the program.
I wanted to let you know there's more information about that raid I talked to you about last time I called in.
Okay.
There's been a few TV spots about it, and there's been an article in the Washington Post. And it's looking like they're basically trying to make barter illegal.
Well, anything to maintain control, barter illegal would just be a tangential or a side effect. They don't, you know what I'm saying? They don't. They don't care about barter. They just want to maintain control,
right?
I think, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You know, our monetary system is privately owned by 300 shareholders who originally bought into the monetary system for $300 for $100 per share.
Yeah.
Back in 1913.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, you know, descendants of Rothschild, the guy that founded the Bank of England. And every central banking system in the world has always collapsed. I mean, it's a history of nothing but collapse as far as central banks are concerned.
Okay, go ahead.
And, you know, we need... The founding fathers saw that and that history, and they said, we're going to put elected officials in charge of the monetary system. The problem with our monetary system is we cannot vote the people who control it out of office.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Will. All of this becomes moot very quickly because our monetary system is collapsing around our ears, and I think pretty much we all know it. Thanks, Will. We'll talk again. Got a break here. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
We try to hustle and try to bust and try to cuss them. The cops want some of the bust down on Orleans Avenue. Another day, another dollar, another wall, another towel went up where the homeless had their homes. So we prayed with many different gods as our flowers, but the cold religion offering.
Standing Up to the Flying Monkey Right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Unbelievable stuff, I swear to God. Claude writes in, Mike, about the latest revelations from McClellan, I can hardly wait for the Democrats to not react. Happy Thanksgiving, Claude. Yeah, oh, the cynicism. And from Ron, Mike, so Snotty Scotty comes clean about the traitors pretending to run our government, like some sort of pathetic deathbed confession, his pulp-bound derriere covering maneuver seems almost comical, if it were not for the fact that the stench of death still lingers in the air from his, I don't know, speak no evil press secretary routine, like Ari Fleischer before him, whose pugnacious denials would make even the most ruthless used car salesman blush, all McClellan is trying to do with this memoir is evade prosecution. He's such a chicken, and then the word for excrement, and a bad chess player. So the Plamegate thing began in the Oval Office, you think? Thanks, you dork, you liar, you puke, you obtuse, heartless weasel. But as he, I'm not sure what you're saying here, Ron, but as he, without conscience, character, or an ounce of self-respect, played along with the ruse, does this book, surely ghostwritten by someone who can write, relieve him of any culpability? Thus pointing the finger at the Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld Dons Macabre, which is sure to help him sell his little tissue of lies, give him a pass? For isn't he, by his own admission, guilty of aiding and abetting the criminal acts of this unholy trinity by covering for them? Or am I just stupid? Oh, come on. What's he trying to do? Hide this all in plain sight or something? A little keel hauling might be in order. What do you think? We need to stand up against these people and bring them down now. Ron, PA. Yeah, well, I know we do. You know we do. But we also know that tomorrow is the day before Thanksgiving, and then there's Thanksgiving, and then there's Friday, Black Friday. That's the day all the retailers go into the black ink if everything works out as planned by the baby Jesus. And if things work out as planned by the baby Jesus, there will be an orgy of buying and sucking up and glomming and ripping and taking and buying and getting and charging and buying in order to celebrate the birth of the Savior of humankind. And lost in all that, of course, will be the fact that the country is run by world-class, no doubt about it, criminals. Back to your phone calls. Sarge is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, Sarge.
Hey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I could be doing better, but I'm doing fine. I wanted to, first of all, when you're talking about that orgy of buying, there's one little orgy of buying that I recommend everybody do. And here at KPHX, and you can go to the 1480kphx.com website and find all the details. But we're having our Mississippi holiday mission here, and we're asking people to get Home Depot gift certificates and send to KPHX, and we will board them on to Jim Yancey of the Jackson County Community Services Coalition to put people back in their homes, and this is a tax-deductible thing. So all the details are on the website. You can also find them at unreportednews.net. And this is a good way to actually do something with all this spending frenzy. And so like Jim Yancey, who's actually taken out a second mortgage on his own home to build homes for others that don't have them, this is a good thing to do.
It's a great thing to do.
So and you don't have to live in Phoenix. You don't have to live in Arizona. Just go by where you can buy a Home Depot. And by the way, Home Depot has agreed to match up to $3,000.
Oh.
So if we raise $3,000, it's $6,000. Jim will get the gift certificates. He'll go out and buy the building materials and the stuff to put these people back in their homes. There's over 14,000 people still without a home today. So this is a way that we can actually make a difference. And I strongly urge everybody to do that.
Well, that's a good idea. So go to unreportednews.net or
KPHX.
KPHX.com.
1480KPHX.com, and we'll be more than glad to help you. Also, they can write 824 East Washington Street, Phoenix, Arizona. 85033.
All right, that sounds good. Sarge, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm looking forward to this Thanksgiving with a little bit of bitterness. I heard the story about the guy who they're telling to repay his enlistment bonus, and
well, it's every soldier who comes back wounded and can't fulfill his contract. They featured Jordan Fox, KDKA did in the television station in Pittsburgh, because he's a local boy, and he also started Operation Pittsburgh Pride, which sends care packages to soldiers who are still caught in George Bush's web of lies and deceit and risking their lives every day. But this is it's happening to all of them, Sarge.
Sure, and I'm a two-service disabled Vietnam-era veteran myself, and of course I can't even get dental care. I'm having to use what I've accumulated thanks to you and all our wonderful listeners to get me some dental health. But if it wasn't for that, I would be facing a really horrible situation. Mm-hmm. And this is what's wrong. These people aren't even waiting until they become veterans to screw them. They're going to stick it to them now.
Yeah, I know. It's just unbelievable. Every day it gets worse. Every day it just gets worse. All right, thanks, Sarge.
Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Have a good Thanksgiving. And I hope people will respond to that. What do we got here? An economy that's starting to tank. A rising number of foreclosures for homeowners. Multi-billion-dollar write-offs by major banks. The dollar is plunging. Stock market is going down the toilet. Oil price is $100 a barrel. This is the Bush administration. Did you ever think it could be so bad, huh? How about all you formerly middle-class Republicans? I say formerly because that's how you started in 2000. Now your ass is one paycheck away from the street. How do you feel? The rich Republicans, the upper 1% of wealth holders, I won't say income earners, because some of those people don't earn anything. They manipulate. They don't produce anything. They don't build anything. They don't give anything to their communities. They manipulate, and they get wealthy from it. But everybody else, all the rest of you Republicans, how do you feel now? Huh? Not only has he destroyed us economically, he's destroyed our reputation, destroyed our military, destroyed our international standing, and on top of everything else, the rotten little bastard lies to your face. How do you feel now, Mr. and Mrs. Christian? Since you are the ones who constitute the core of his party, how does it feel? You proud of yourselves? David is calling from Blaine, Washington, listening on the internet. Hey, David.
Hi, Mike. I love you. the timing of McClellan's revelations and the fact that that Newsweek hired Rove, which will probably turn out to be a financial windfall for them in the next issue. And the fact that we've always known that the Bush and Cheney crime network were directly involved in outing of Valerie Plame is beyond priceless. And the result of the 2006 elections is the gift that keeps on giving. Let's not forget that gas was 99 cents in 2000, by the way. And to me, it was crystal clear that Pelosi's declaration that impeachment was off the table was an obviously calculated strategy to further reveal the true colors of this crime network that we're all paying for with our tax dollars.
Wait, what do you mean? It was a calculated strategy.
Okay, it's off the table, but that doesn't necessarily mean. At least I was interpreting it as it not being, part of a future discussion. She says that she comes out of the gate after they win the election. Impeachment's off the table. That to me tells me that there's a strategy happening behind the curtain, because we're dealing with murderers, mm-hmm. torturers, liars.
So what you're doing is kind of defending Pelosi's decision. Or saying there's more to it.
There's more to it.
I see.
And it's easy to react because we all want these these SOBs to be impeached, but it almost seems like we're in new territory.
Mm-hmm.
That impeachment, like you were saying, it's a process, but we have enabling senators and representatives that are just as corrupt and criminal and murderous and torturous as Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld have shown us in the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where do you start? You know, we need to definitely keep ourselves calm and observe the process, because we're definitely in a unique time in how we not just remove Bush and Cheney. I mean, you look at all these Democratic candidates all cluster effing to their way to the White House and pretending that Bush and Cheney aren't even there.
I hear you. I hear you. All right, David, thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Proof that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, Mark in San Francisco writes in, greetings, Mike, the real value of impeachment is that those who have been impeached cannot be pardoned. Not by you, me, the president, or God himself. Even though the odds are against a conviction of either Cheney or Bush in the Senate, we can successfully impeach them in the House. And then we will be able to criminally try, convict, and drop these sacks of crap into oubliettes? What is that, Kathy? Will you speak French? For the rest of their natural lives. Then the country can begin to heal. Oubliette? I don't either. Too slick, Mark. I got your email except when you came to that word. Arlene in Phoenix writes about the Christian right that I just mentioned, how they still slobber over Bush. Arlene writes, they are still idiots. They have drunk every little drop of Kool-Aid the Fox Attainment Channel, Newsmax, the Christian Coalition, Pat Robertson, and James Dobson have put out. They are crazy. I no longer have a family because my once kind-hearted, non-bigoted, non-racist family has turned into many Rush Limbaughs. It is unbelievable. Yeah. Let's go back to the phone calls. Peter is calling from Kansas, listening on Sirius. Peter, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
Thanks for. Hey, you know, this Scott McClellan whipped cream on top of the crime, the parfait of crime for Bush, makes me think again about impeachment. And the question to me is, we have a constitutional question: can we impeach both the president and the vice president at the same time? And can that impeachment be led by the person who stands to become president if they're both removed from office?
Well, Pelosi wouldn't lead it. It would be led by the House Judiciary Committee.
Judiciary Committee, okay.
Right, and they would simply have hearings and decide whether or not the evidence warranted submitting articles of impeachment to the full House. At which point the full House votes, including Pelosi, but certainly not. It's not her gig. It's what is written in the Constitution. Now, as far as impeaching both of them at the same time, I have no idea. I think this is the reason that Kucinich introduced a bill of impeachment against Cheney.
Right.
You get rid of that corrupt son of a bitch first. And at which point Bush has to, I don't know if he has to, either Bush does, with the confirmation of the Senate, appoint a vice president, or maybe the confirmation of the House. I'm not sure which. And then, after that's done, if Bush does it, then go after Bush.
Then go after Bush.
Right. And then it's up to, I'm not sure what happens then, but I think we can weather that storm. Well, I do know what happens. The vice president then becomes president.
Becomes president.
Right.
And he in turn turns around and nominates nominates someone to be his appointed vice president, and then it's up to the House or the Senate, don't know which, to confirm. It's complicated. It seems like a lot of work. Most of our dealings with the rest of the world are going to get lost. They'll get lost in the promised confusion of all this. But on the other hand, either we are a nation of laws, which I have heard Republicans parrot for decades, either we are a nation of laws or we aren't. If we are not, then let's declare ourselves not a nation of laws. Right. By ignoring what these bastards have done and move on to the next level, which is a ceremonial position of president, vice president, cabinet, House and Senate. I'm sorry. Everything's ceremonial except the president, and vice president. The decisions made by a round table of corporate leaders that represent first and foremost the weapons industry, secondly the energy industry, right, and then third, I guess, would be the high tech industry, and the nuclear. Nuclear would come under energy. The decisions then would be made by this roundtable in much the same way that the decisions were made about energy and Dick Cheney by this group 5 years ago. The records of these meetings are never to be revealed to the American public. So the process is already taking place. It just hasn't been formally recognized by the American public and the interested parties that will no longer have any authority whatsoever, i.e. the House, the Senate, and the judiciary. So this is how close we are. If we are going to do that, then let's move on so that a true revolution with guns and bombs and weapons can begin. You understand?
Well, it's a scary proposition, but last weekend I sat down and read the Constitution, which I haven't probably done since I was in college. And when I was done, I almost cried because we have come so far from what that remarkable document says to where we are today. And I think impeachment now is the only way to begin to get us back on the road.
It is indeed. All right,
thank
Peter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate you checking in. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. If we are at this crossroads, you know, we still have the trappings, the outlines of representational government, of democratically elected, the outlines. I realize about the theft, the election theft. And to refuse to use the tools given to us by the Constitution to change all this would be a crime itself. So it's not the time for revolution, I don't believe. It's not yet the time for open revolution. But if the Congress becomes so impotent, and if the unitary executive that these Federalists and neocons have been pushing now for 30 years and finally have their moment, if that transpires, if it comes to pass that an election is not held next November, if it comes to pass that the decision-making process passes from the House and the Senate regarding how we govern ourselves to a corporate roundtable, if it comes to pass that there are military tribunals that make judicial decisions and not a federal court system, all of this not any longer reviewed by United States Supreme Court, then by Christ, by anyone you want to swear to, it is time for the second revolution. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Tomorrow night, filling in for me will be Johnny Wendell of AM 1150 KTLK in Los Angeles. And on Thanksgiving night, an encore Malloy program, our interview with Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch. A couple emails here regarding Ubelet. Is that how you say it? Ubelet? Ubelet? J-K-O. Jakosak? Okay, close enough. It's a jail, a dungeon. They use the term in the movie Labyrinth. From Reggie. An Ubelet was a form of dungeon which was accessible only from a hatch in a high ceiling. To exit an Ubelet was nearly impossible without outside help. The word comes from the French oublier, to forget, as it was used for those prisoners the captors wished to forget. Most prisoners were left to die of starvation. And Jen, hey Mike, I probably spelled it wrong, but what the gentleman was talking about is a hole in which castle prisoners were dropped into and left to die. Sometimes there was a spike on the floor, and if they landed on it, yeah, gross. Yeah. All right, thanks, everybody. I never heard of that word. Ublet, ublet. Among millions of others I haven't heard of. Dan is calling from Franksville, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, I don't have much to say tonight. Just earlier listening to you on how they would get rid of Scott. They would, oh, that's some sort of old-fashioned. Nowadays they do the old pills where you have a heart attack or a stroke.
Yeah.
And they can't trace it. And some of the crudest, most crudest stuff I can think of is they'll have a nutcase get you. A nutcase got you, you know what I mean?
What?
They'll have a nutcase attack.
Some crazy person.
Oh, yeah, some crazy person. Did it.
Or just go into your house and put a little anthrax in your sugar bowl. You'll never know it.
But listening to your show, I have to say, it's literally just like artwork. It's so beautiful. It's just beyond belief. I mean, a lot of people cough and sort of down and out, but I've been numbified by all the things that have happened, you know, in my life. I mean, just thinking of your show where you played the bombing of Iraq. I mean, you know, that's that terrorist attack there makes the World Trade Centers look like a little picnic. You know,
in terms of explosive power and death, probably so. One hates to compare acts of atrocities, whether they're committed against us or by us. But
well, I mean,
I get what you say. I get what you say. Sure.
But they want me to stay focused here, so I'll try and do that tonight. But I mean, as far as Pelosi, I don't think Pelosi is going to do much because her rhetoric sounds good. But I think if you go back in her record, I think she's a puppet. It's only my opinion. I hope it'd be different, but I just think that the system is so corrupt. She to get in that kind of power position, with all the money and the corruption in this country, it almost sounds like fantasy. But I hope it would be different.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about Nancy Pelosi that prevents her from seeing that the country is run by a criminal, by two criminals, and that it is not up to her. In fact, it is up to the U.S. Constitution. And I don't know what is stopping her from allowing constitutional law to come into play.
They must have cut deals. Some sort of deal there.
Well, possibly so, but that is freaky for me. Hey, listen, Dan, thank you very much. I appreciate you checking in. Arnold is calling from Alabama, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
So good to talk to you. Listen, man, I enjoy your show night after night after night after night. I get to hear you every night almost for the longest time. I go back how many years to hear you, to motivate your audience, to innovate your, energize your listeners. What is it going to take to get you people into the street? What is it going to take you to get you going? Night after night.
Yeah,
all the time you was reading 1984, chapter after chapter. I said, when are the people going to tie, put the, enjoy the dots together?
Man, you have spent a lot of time listening to this program.
Oh man, I tell you what, one of the best things like this too. You like people who go to the car races. They don't go there to see the cars go around the track. They go there to see the wreck, see the cars.
I
enjoy when you invite the neocons to call your show. You know,
uh-huh.
I say, oh my God, here you go. I wish your wife would play some music to set that up. You know, I would say you would be like a 135-pound Rottweiler on a plastic chain. maybe she can come up with some music. She got a camel case of music there. I would suggest she play like George Clinton, Atomic Dog. Wow, 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 yippee-o, yippee-a. That would lead you right into it. Then you say, come on, call me up. I dare you call me up, you know. Hey, I listened to you so many years, Mike, I tell you. What is it going to take? You used to do a countdown. When the down the street memos came out, every night you would say, here's day three, day four, day 500, and you people hadn't got into the street yet. Now here's Scotty McClellan coming out with his junk. Mike, I used to be a con artist back in the 80s and the late 70s.
Oh, yeah?
And I used to dodge people who are loan sharks who gave me countless thousands and thousands of dollars. I know what Scotty is going through right now. Maybe he don't know. They're going to catch up to him, Scotty. They're going to catch up to you, and they're going to burn your butt. They're going to burn your butt.
Well,
I wish I was there to see it.
That's what I was saying. That's why he released that little bit that he released. That's his street insurance. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
By putting out there. And the media have gone nuts over this, including me. I mean, I'm not acting like I'm not, you know, involved in reporting all this and talking about it, maybe from a slightly different angle than, say, MSNBC. But the media are all over it. And McClellan has to be sitting back going, yeah, hell yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to happen. Now, at least now, if they kill me or if I die, these sons of bitches will be the prime suspects. You know, I mean, I can't think anything else. I don't know anymore, Arnold. The whole business has got me totally freaked.
It's a crying shame, and you expose it. You tell these people, I just heard you say it not too long ago. You're telling people, okay, now, you, what do you people think now? The people who had those great holdings, I mean, money they had, now the Bush people have just ripped your pockets down. You know, and here the troops are here, man. They suffering like dogs, you know. And they're going to take back this sign-on bonuses after what they've been through, after you lose a leg, lose an arm.
Isn't that something?
What it's going to take to get the people in the street?
I don't know.
Get in the street, people. And listen, I mean, that's the only thing going to do it. I mean, I remember when the 2004 election, when John Kerry blew that, and I was looking at news in Croatia, I think it was the name of the country. I mean, they couldn't show a bigger camera view of the people in the streets because of a blown election in that country.
Right,
they
right.
were all over the place, you know. People in the United States just sitting there looking. Duh, 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 duh.
Yeah, yeah. What's on TV tonight, Arnold? Don't be a stranger, man. It's always good to hear from you. Keep listening tonight because I'm going to play something for you now. All right.
You keep me going, man.
All right, I'm going to play something for you. So thanks, Arnold. That's Arnold. Arnold from Alabama. He's been listening to this show since before this show even existed. Man's a long time listener. All right, we're going to... we got a break here? Yeah, we do. We're going to play a little piece of music here for Arnold. You think Kathy doesn't have a huge collection of music? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Yeah.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Excuse me. This is from a couple of days ago, but do you remember the Democracy for America political action committee and website that was set up originally by Howard Dean? They had an online poll, which sure means nothing, does it? Online poll about which candidate on the Democratic side had the backing of grassroots activist Democrats. And, you know, I went there and clicked Kucinich, and I don't know if you did or not, but about a week ago they released this, and it was just sent to me by, I don't know who sent it. Steve sent it. Thanks, Steve. And Kucinich won 47 of 50 states. That was the first nationwide poll of grassroots activist Democrats. In Iowa and New Hampshire, which are regarded as bellwether states because of their early positions in balloting, Kucinich scored victories over Edwards, Obama, and Clinton. In Iowa, Kucinich captured more than 24% of the vote among nine Democratic candidates, including write-in Al Gore. He came in ahead of Edwards and Obama. In New Hampshire, he got 34% of the vote, more than Edwards and Obama combined. In only three states, in the three states in which he was not the top vote getter, which were South Carolina, Illinois, and Washington, Kucinich came in second. This is a part that drives me absolutely to distraction. In the final DFA poll results, Kucinich was the clear national first place finisher with almost 32% of the votes cast. This is out of eight or nine candidates. Write-in candidate Al Gore was second with 25%. Edwards 15.6, Obama 13.8, and both New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson and Hillary Clinton barely above 4%. It's isn't that sad? isn't it sad? It is sad. It breaks my heart. This country needs Dennis Kucinich. I'll tell you who we need. The perfect ticket to me would be Kucinich and Gore. It would. Kucinich and Gore. Or Gore and Kucinich. I don't know. Or Kucinich and Wes Clark. And we are not going to get him. Isn't that something? But this is what this is the man, or the candidate, I should say, that Democrats want. The real activist grassroots Democrats who still believe in the principles of the Democratic Party. This is who we want. Damn. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge!
Rule of law! Remember the...
I remember those little moral midgets as they...
Well, that was the inimitable freedom of... What the hell was it? Of Medal of Freedom winner... Henry Hyde.
Yeah.
Rule of law.
Rule of law. Rule of law. Reminded me of that Todd Browning movie from back in the 30s, Freaks. One of us. One of us. One of us.
You know,
gibble gobble. One of us.
I was praying that you would come to me when you were reading that thing about Kucinich, because there's a movie out now, sort of a documentary, whatever, by Brian De Palma called Redacted. Have you heard of it?
Oh, have I ever. I can't wait to have a chance to go see it.
The people are totally pissed off because he's they're saying that he's, you know, downing the troops. He's unpatriotic.
Right.
Hey, jackass, pay attention. He's talking about what's not being reported in the liberal media.
Yeah, but don't forget who's bad-mouthing Brian De Palma, the usual thugs and bastards who have corrupted this country.
Well, imagine that.
Like your friends up at WLS.
Watch it, Charlie.
I'm sorry.
My friends at WLS?
I apologize. I said it in jest.
Okay, all right. I'll let you get away with it.
Thank you.
But, you know, the thing that's really got me going today was when I heard that, gee whiz, you know, they can pay billions of dollars to folks like Eric Prince and whoever the hell is running Halliburton.
Right.
But you get a GI that gets his leg blown off and he comes back home and he can't go back into service. Well, give us back your signing bonus.
Don't when you heard that story, didn't you want to smash something? Hold on, Marge. I'm going to put you on hold and come back to you. We have to do a break here. We're talking with Marge in Indiana. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
You know it's hard out here for a pimp when he's trying to get his money for the rent. For the Cadillac.
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
All right, we're going to go back to Marge here in just a second, but email from Mike in Idaho, who writes in, Mike, after listening to the last two news reports from AP on Sirius, I believe that Scott McClellan's plan may backfire. The report at 10:30 barely mentioned what should be a blockbuster, stating only that McClellan did not know the information he gave regarding the plane issue was not correct information. The next report at 11 did not even mention McClellan's implication of Chimp Boy and Darth Vader. With Thanksgiving and Black Friday upon us, this revelation will be ignored by the corporate media after Wednesday's news cycle, leaving those of us who are paying attention ignored once again. Simple Scotty may end up, quote, taking his own life, end quote, or moving to Nepal to live with the monks. These evil bastards will get away unscathed, and the rest of the world will continue to view us as accomplices to the Bush crime family. Mike in Idaho. Mike, that is so bleak. that is so bleak. So right on. All right, back to Marge. Marge in Indiana. All right, now, you were
who
talking...
Who was the guy in Texas that was found sitting in a car with a...
Oh, that was an Enron guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he committed suicide by shooting himself twice in the back of the head.
I tell you, if I was in the same line with Scotty McClellan at an airport, I'd go the other direction.
You'd do what?
I'd go in the other direction. I wouldn't get on the same plane with that guy.
No, I wouldn't. If I were Scott McClellan right now, I would do exactly what he has done. I would release that little gem and tidbit as street insurance to make sure that Elliot Abrams or Negroponte doesn't send a Nicaraguan hit squad or some, I don't know who, you know, to come and get McClellan. He's on very thin ice right now, and I think that's the reason he released that.
Was. You know, the thing that you don't read, the liberal media, that's another thing that sort of sets my teeth on edge. You know, with this thing that's going on now with the FCC selling all the spectrum and having these public forums where people are saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I've been watching Bill Moyers lately, and I think that quiet, very soft-spoken man may come to the point where he's going to start cussing.
Now, who is that?
Bill Moyer.
Oh, Moyers, yeah. Well, he's, I don't know how he does it. Either he eats an awful lot of Valium, or he has learned how to find that calm. Well, you know, he's, I think Moyers, isn't he a method, he's, I want to say he either has a degree in divinity or he's,
That's possible. I don't know for sure, but it seems to me like somewhere along the line that I've heard him speak in those tones. But
yeah, he either has a degree in a doctor of divinity, or he's a is he a preacher, or is it? I know he was brought up a Baptist in Texas, of all places.
Yeah. I was going to say he's from Texas, and he's very soft spoken, but.
Yeah, you sometimes when I watch him too on the stuff he reports, you know, I look for the bulging vein or the eyeball is about to pop out on his cheek, and I never see it. You know,
it's a good thing that my knees are aging, because I tell you true, I would get a few people lined up and, you know, put on some hobnail boots and kick ass. I'm so sick and tired of this crap. I can't tell you, Michael.
Oh, Marge.
It's disgusting. I mean, you know, I am. God love you. You've got a little girl, and I don't know what the hell you're going to buy her for Christmas.
Well,
you're going to sit home and whittle something, some a building box, or make a little rocking horse or something.
Well, I wish that I could. We found a couple of websites that sell stuff that is not made in China or any place where they use exploitative labor or what have you.
And lead, right.
Our rule for Molly is three gifts. That's it. It's probably going to be a book, and maybe a Lego or something similar to these huge chunky clunky Legos they have now. She's had a Lego set forever and loves it, but we want to get the next step up with the little gears and the wheels and so on and so forth.
Director set.
That's what we called it when I was a kid.
Tinker Toys. Wood was Tinker Toys.
Tinker
Erector
Toys.
Set
right.
was made of metal.
Made out of metal, yeah. And the metal now, is probably full of depleted uranium. So.
Oh, jeez.
and the wood probably comes from a 4,000-year-old California redwood cut down by some Japanese company.
Have you dug a well yet in your backyard?
No, I keep hitting rocks.
You know, I keep thinking about these old-fashioned Western movies, you know, where they had range wars when somebody built a dam on a river.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, one rancher would get the water and the rest of them would go whistle.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about the oysters in Apalachicola. Okay. I knew I was missing a syllable there someplace.
Yeah.
That are not getting enough water to...
The mussels. We're not releasing enough water here in Georgia out of Lake Lanier, which flows into the Chattahoochee River, which flows into the Apalachicola River, which flows into Apalachicola Bay, which is right in the Florida Panhandle. Actually, it's... it should be South Alabama, but it's the Florida Panhandle. That's what all the screaming is about between Georgia, Alabama, and Florida.
Yeah.
I think they ought to just take the three governors, give them all guns, lock them in a room, and say, now settle it. Marge, I got to go.
Who's the best shot? Well, take care. And
all right,
remember, as you get ready for your Thanksgiving holiday, you are what you eat.
That's true. Thanks. Take care, Marge. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, Reg emails in, Moyers is an ordained Baptist minister. That's right. Thanks, Reg. Who else... John is calling from Kansas City, listening on Sirius. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, Mike. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
I always preferred Lincoln Logs myself, but, you know,
yeah, Lincoln Logs were kind of cool, but they didn't do anything. You know?
Well, you can make a nice little house. I don't know.
Yeah, you
make
can
a
make
house.
A,
That's all you can do with them, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I didn't like the ones that my parents used to get me when I was a kid. The green paint would come off. Remember those little boards that made the roofs?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were painted bright green.
Mm-hmm.
And my fingers would turn green. And ooh. God only knows what that was. It was probably radioactive or paint or, you know.
That can't
paint.
Be good for you.
I know it can't be, but.
I had a take here on that McKellen thing. I mean, you know, it's great what came out, but please tell me, how is that going to change anything at all as far as what people think of this guy? Bush, I mean. You know, look,
He only has a 28% approval rating. Maybe if his approval rating falls down to 3%, maybe Pelosi will stand out of the way of the Constitution, and we can no way.
I don't know. You know, look. I mean, people like you and me. You know, we already know this guy's a criminal. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the neocons, they shoot. I've got neo.
Well, John, I'm sorry, but we had to bleep that out. I know it was a mistake. I'm sorry, John. See, John listens on Sirius, and you know, we'll talk again, John. I promise. That's one of those words you can't say, but that's okay. We still love you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Stuff happens, so to speak. James is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike. I just called to say, you know, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
For your family and, you know, what it means. We pilgrims broke bread with the Native Americans, you know.
And then we killed them all.
Well, I mean, you know, when things happen and we grow and we learn. But what I want to say is I want to thank the troops for this service. They're at the gates of hell dealing with this. And I want you to know half of them are minority, I believe. And I haven't seen the statistic on it, but that's what I've heard.
I know there's a lot of folks who...
And we're doing a good job over the best we can under the circumstances with who's leading us. So I just want to say that, it's pretty simple that, you know, we just have to elect officials that will represent what we uphold. And I think the American people need to bear the cross. And try to, bring us together and do the right thing. So, I just wanted to basically say, you know, happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the week, the week. And that's it, Mike, okay?
All right. Thanks
and,
a
well,
lot.
Okay,
thanks
take
a
care.
Lot.
Take care,
all right,
Mike. Okay,
all right,
bye-bye.
James, I appreciate it. You take care, too. Mark is calling from Georgia, listening via the Internet. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right, Mark. How you doing?
Pretty good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Back at you.
Listen, I understand why that guy used cuss words, because every time I hear George Bush, every time I see George Bush, every time I even hear the word Bush, I burst out into cussing. You know, I despise him to every core of my being. Loathe that man that I cannot believe that a country that would elect Franklin Roosevelt as president would sink so low as to have this thing, this murdering criminal. I sometimes can't even come to terms with it.
It makes it hard to talk.
It does. It just enrages me.
I know. I know exactly. I mean, if I'm not on the air, if I'm not at work here, I can say, say it right out of my gut, but I can't do it on the air.
Yeah.
Obviously. So
I understand, but it's just the very thought, the very sight of the man. And I have loathed him ever since he started. The first time I saw him on television, I loathed him. Mm-hmm. From that very start, way back all those years ago, he came across as an arrogant frat boy, rich boy who had everything handed to him on a silver spoon, mm-hmm. including the presidency.
And screwed it all up. Everything he's ever put his hands on, he has left ruined. Look at the U.S. economy.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the U.S. economy for the top one half of 1%. Look at these mortgage foreclosures.
Yeah.
Look at what has happened to the dollar. At the fact that we're now, is it $9 or $12 trillion in debt? This man has stepped up to the plate and destroyed everything. And it's so typical of what this rat bastard has done his entire life. Mark, I have to leave there. Thanks, pal.
Okay.
Take care. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
There's a mountain of bodies. There's a mountain of debt. There's a mountain of troubles. And it ain't over yet. Said, hey, yeah. The president has got to go. He's got to go. We want our country back. We're going to get it. Want to show him the door. Chemicals and nukes, you know, they never did appear. Yellow, orange, and red, just to keep us in fear. Said, hey, yeah. President has got to go.
Well, he lied to us once, but I...
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 8 minutes before the hour. Hey, listen, seriously, have a good time over the next couple of days. It's a weird holiday, and I know that, but and you know that. But I think one way to celebrate something that resembles the Thanksgiving you were told about as a kid growing up is just to get together with family and friends, and seek respite by sitting around, having a nosh, eating this, drinking that, and lots of conversation. And also, perhaps, if you are inclined or have the time to spend a little time feeding homeless or people who don't have a place to go on Thanksgiving. It's a very creepy holiday when you understand the origins of it. It really, really creeps me out. So I just, I just don't think about it. Just don't think about it. To me, it's a day to get together with friends and family, like I said, and sit around and talk and drink good wine. Follow up a good meal with good coffee from superbeans.com. I got to say, Kathy, it's the best coffee I've ever tasted in my entire life. I'm sorry. I free plugs. I don't care. You know, I talk about fairywoodland.com, too, which, by the way, if you're looking for just a Christmas gift for your kid or your grandkid that will just absolutely stun them, and you don't want Chinese crap, go to fairywoodland.com and take a look. I mean, just looking at their website is worth the time. So, yeah, there's two folks out here, Bob and Bridget. Bridget and John work in the fairy houses business, which is just gorgeous. Oh, my God. And Bob goes for the hot cup of Java that is so wonderful. So to these two people, I just say beat a pass to their website. If you don't, well, okay. We got time for another call. Oh, thanks to the crew, the usual crew. Ian Huff, who engineered the program, answered your calls, make sure we're on. Billy Foster, who handles all sorts of things at Nova M. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. And our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Again, Johnny Wendell of KTLK in Los Angeles will sit in for me tomorrow night. And on Thursday night, there will be an encore program, the one where we did the interview with the author of Justin Frank, the author of Bush on the Couch. We'll be back Friday. Okay. Brian is calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Brian.
Yes, Mike, I can't believe I got through to you. Listen, I know you don't have much time. I drive a tractor trailer, and I've been doing it for a lot of years. And just to give you an idea, until you came along, I had to sit and listen for 10 years to Rush Limbaugh, John Hannity, no offense intended, Ed Schultz, who I think is a phony.
Yeah.
And also Mr. Scotty McClellan. At these Flying J truck stops, they will not allow you to watch any TV except what management says is going to be on there, and it's Fox News every day.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? I'm a diehard Democrat. I'm getting a little tired of that.
Yeah.
A strong union person, and I'm sitting there listening to fellow truck drivers screaming, ranting, and raving about Al Gore, and he only tells one side of the story, and it's unbelievable.
It is. It's very disturbing. You know, I get the same thing in the radio business or any other business or just hanging out. I hear the same stuff. And I just think to myself, what will it take for every last single American to wake up and realize that our government, our country, is in the hands of criminals? I don't know what it'll take. I honest to God, I don't know, Brian.
Listen, can I say one more thing? I know you're busy. Listen.
Absolutely, go ahead.
I've never called talk show hosts until the last few months or so.
Right.
I talked to Alex Bennett, one of your cohorts.
Yeah.
Nice fella. And I was faking it. I said, you know, I'm totally upset, this was quite a long time ago, about Rush Limbaugh with his drug problem. I said, does that mean that he might not be on Armed Forces Radio, the only spokesman for this country? I said, I'm extremely upset. And Alex Bennett said to me, well, you know, he is a really, really good entertainer. You know, I don't take anything he says as serious. I got news for you. I'm not retarded or anything, and nothing against those people that happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say that, representing the left side or anything, this guy is a criminal himself, and people like Alex and others are condoning their behavior and their talk makes me mad as hell.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Brian, and I certainly agree anyone who enables Rush Limbaugh to continue, I think, is making a mistake. But, you know, whatever. Hey, thanks to everybody for participating in the program. I do appreciate it. I'll see you Friday night. Take care, okay? Seriously, take care. Be careful this week during the holiday. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.